Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello and welcome to an hour of Mind Power. This is Donna Sebo. Today we are going to be talking about business. We're going to be talking about business in a little bit of a different perspective. Have you ever worked in an office where you have different generations? The boomer generation working, the X generation, the Y generation, the Z generation. I mean, we've just got all kinds of titles for all kinds of generations. Why is this important to be able to understand and to work with? Well, my guest today, Camille Bishop, is a woman that's going to be sharing some inside details on how we're in this boat together. It's about leadership succession between the generations. Camille, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Donna. It's a pleasure to be on it.
Well, I'll tell you what, I so enjoyed your book.
Thank you.
It because, one, the story that you utilized, White River Rafting, is just incredibly wonderful. But the fact that you presented with such good clarity the differences between generations, and we'll go into that, but I want my listeners to know that you are on the faculty of the University of the Nations, which is a nonprofit educational institution, and you teach courses there on educational leadership, community development, multicultural education, and leadership transition. You are also an adjunct professor at Azusa Pacific University, Indiana Wesleyan University, and Campbell University. And you yourself have been involved with 60 nations, and you've worked with educators, government officials, nonprofit agencies. Good gracious. Do you ever get a day off?
I just had a few last week.
This is an issue that is so significant. We are living in a world today where the baby boomers that thought they were going to be retiring are finding, oops, can't do that. They also have, because of experience and various, well, what do I want to say, areas of expertise that the younger generation doesn't have. I liked your approach in this book because you feel that the older generation can benefit the younger and vice versa. I really, really like that. And you started off with a quote, "Leadership and learning are indispensable to each other." And that is absolutely true. That's a quote by John F. Kennedy. What motivated you to write this book? Why was this so important that you be able to communicate about this? What have your experiences been that caused you to say, I need to put this in writing?
Well, I work for an organization that is very multicultural and very multigenerational. And I have been with the same organization for about 21 years, and we are going through a lot of leadership transition issues ourselves as an organization, and I started to notice the tensions that are natural arising as people looked at, is it time for me to step aside? Who do I hand my leadership over to? How do I do this in a good way? And I thought, you know what? I was working on my doctorate anyway, and I thought I would like to do a study that would help my organization and others as well.
That's a good enough reason. How long did it take you to put this together? And what did you do to gather your statistics and your various points of information to back up what you were saying here in your book?
Well, actually, the book is based on my doctoral dissertation. And that, you know, that encompassed 5 years of study and research. So there is a lot, if you look in the back on the bibliography, there's a lot of research to back this up. But after I finished it, I realized, you know, people just don't read doctoral dissertations unless you're a student yourself. So I rewrote the entire thing as a story. I wanted to put it into a user-friendly format for the lay person that they could really benefit from it. It took me another 3 years to do that.
Well, I think you've done an outstanding job. For those of you who are listening, that would like to have a book to add to your business expertise library, this, I think, is a definite must, because this is going to become even more pronounced. There's been many people that have said what used to be considered, oh, generations, it was like, oh, every 20, 25 mm-hmm. years, but that's not the case anymore. We are having generational shifts like every 4 to 10 years. I mean, it's because of technology. I mean, everything is seemingly accelerating. So let's take this scenario of the White River rafting, and having done that, when I started reading it, I thought, boy, is this an appropriate way to look at who's going to do what and how they're going to work together. Have you done White River rafting yourself?
I certainly have, and that's why I picked that metaphor, because I'll never forget my experiences. The very first time I ever went whitewater rafting was with a group of friends, and we tackled a very difficult river that had 4 and 5 class rapids, and I had no concept of what that was going to be like. And it was stomach churning and anxiety producing as well as thrilling, and I thought, well, what better metaphor to use for leadership transition?
Well, I agree with you 100%. Now, you say no one in today's workforce is exempt from the fact that 4 generations currently are being represented. And you just said in your own environment, these are challenges that are being faced. And you had some wonderful questions. And these were right at the very beginning of your book, and I'm just going to mention a few of them. Are there generational differences in work ethic, and if so, what are they? How does each generation relate and respond to authority figures? How does each generation perceive women in leadership? What are expectations? How do they balance the demands of home and work? Views about money and fiscal responsibility? And how does each generation view the role of leadership? Let's talk about the 4 generations. Tell us what the silent generation is.
The silent generation is the group of people that were born during the World War II era. They didn't fight in the war, but they were born pretty much between 1925 and 1942. They're the ones today that are in their mid to late 60s into their 70s. Obviously, mm-hmm. they are starting to leave the workforce, but a lot of these people don't have any desire to leave the workforce. They enjoy working. The silent generation tend to be very traditional, they're frugal, they're conservative, they have worked their whole lives, they have very strong value systems, and actually many of them want to continue working.
Mm-hmm. I'd agree with that. I really would, because I've known many people, goodness, I know of people that are in their 80s.
Oh, yes.
And they're saying, well, I've got this to do, and I've got that to do, and I've got the other to do, and they're active. They are not sitting on their hands.
Absolutely. My parents are in that generation, and they reluctantly retired a year ago, but they actually, my mom is just currently looking for a job.
So
she really represents her generation very well.
Yes, and I've got a friend who has a publishing business. His mother is in her 90s. She goes into work every day.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, Mother, don't you think in your 90s you're supposed to do something called retirement? She said, give me a, are you kidding? You retire. I'll continue working. I mean, it's marvelous.
Right.
I mean, I just love it. All right, now we've got another generation, the boomers. The boomers.
Right.
Who are the boomers?
The boomers are the ones that were born from all of the GIs that were coming home after World War II. And you actually have 2 different brackets in the boomer generation. You've got the early boomers who were born in, say, the 40s and early 50s, and then you've got the later boomers that were born in the mid-50s and into the early 60s. And the reason I say that is because the early boomers are very much like the silent generation in most of their characteristics, and they also grew up during a time of tremendous optimism, putting a man on the moon, and vaccines were being developed, so much scientific discovery. And then your later boomers grew up during the Vietnam War, the Civil Rights Movement, the assassination of John F. Kennedy, a lot of disillusionment. So those 2 groups, they're both boomers, but they actually have some differences in their behaviors.
Oh, interesting. Now, the Gen Xers, they're
mm-hmm.
born between 61 and 81.
That's
Tell
right.
Tell us about them.
The Gen Xers are a fascinating generation. They grew up basically with popular culture and the media, the MTV. You know, their primary news media is the computer. They are very creative, technologically gifted. But they also grew up during a time where the divorce rate escalated, where often they have felt rootless at times and not really part of a family. The most popular television show for the Gen Xers has probably been the show Friends, which, you know, demonstrated the desire for connection and almost to kind of create your own family. And so they are the ones, actually, I got an email from a friend the other day, and he's a Gen Xer, and he's just turning 40, and I couldn't believe it. So they are actually, you know, aging as well.
Yes, yes.
But they are very much taking positions of leadership now in the business world.
All right, now we have the millennials.
Yes, the millennials were born between 1982 and 2002, and your millennials are the newest and youngest members of the workforce, and of course some of them are still in elementary school, so because the last of the millennials were born in 2002. But these are the ones that are coming into the workforce. They are they have been raised, especially in the United States, with the concept of everyone is a winner. Self-esteem is really important. They're very busy. The millennials were the busiest children on record. These children have been taken to all kinds of extracurricular activities. They've grown up on the internet, and they are, again, very creative. Technology is like breathing to them. Mm-hmm. And relationship is very important to the millennial generation. So they are entering the workforce, and they have a lot of new ideas. And they also relate to authority and leadership quite differently.
You bring out a point. You've just discussed how here in the United States there are certain attitudes relative to each of these generations. But there are also other countries, other peoples throughout the world. They also have their generational patternings. Which country has been most interesting for you to observe other than the United States relative to the time zones that you have been just discussing about the United States?
Well, that's a great question, Donna, because when I first started this study, some people said to me, Camille, that's just a North American phenomenon. Don't get too interested in that. But as I did my research, and of course I travel a lot, I noticed that it really is a common phenomenon in every nation, actually. It's just that some have experienced it more radically than others. For example, China. Mm-hmm. The people that are leading China now grew up during the Cultural Revolution, and it has shaped the way they think. You can see that China today is much more engaged in the world and much more open to dialogue. And obviously there are many cultural differences, and the way that they organize their government is different from ours, but they definitely have different generational markers in their culture. It would be the same, you know, think about Afghanistan and the women that grew up under the Taliban. That's going to shape them for the rest of their lives. Mm-hmm. Germany, before and after the Nazi regime. So if you can go to any culture, really, and you look at their history, and you can see when certain events took place that shaped the national consciousness, so to speak, it creates a generational marker.
It's been my observation that when you are around people of different cultures, when you can take this patterning of observation that you yourself have very astutely been alerted to and have incorporated into your book on various levels, when you can do this, then there's more of an understanding about how to communicate more effectively. Because if you're not aware of that, you really get into hot water, because there are exactly as you've described, it really makes a difference.
It makes a significant difference. If you look at, especially if you're dealing with business or government, and mm-hmm. you're looking and you're interacting with leaders, and if you understand where they've come from in their own culture and society and how and the time period they grew up, you will have some very significant clues on how to relate to them. And then I've neglected to mention that the internet has created another interesting generational situation, because the internet has actually leveled the playing field. And mm-hmm. so many cultures that would have been perhaps a bit slower in seeing some change take place, it has accelerated because of the internet. And so many young people, even though they're growing up in different cultures, the internet connects them in a way that was never possible to even 20 years ago.
Yes, and that is forcing a shift and change at a rate that I don't think previous generations that have been historically recorded have truly ever experienced.
Oh, it's absolutely the truth. The access to information, the ability to rally people to a cause internationally is beyond anything we've ever seen before in history.
All right. The story is about four people working for a company called Handover Corporation. There's George, Brianna, Nate, and Brad, and they're going on this White River rafting trip, and each of them have different feelings about this, but the company is requiring, and I'll use the word pods within mm-hmm. their own company, to go out, and pods representing groups, that's my terminology. So they mm-hmm. take this group, a pod, because it's a grouping of people, it's a team, the team pods, and they're having them go out here. Now, this is an interesting combination because you have one female, you have three males.
Right.
Why did you choose that combination?
Well, I thought that from the silent generation, most typically you would find a male worker. Because in the silent generation, many of the wives weren't in the workforce. And then Brad, to be honest, I really didn't think so much about the gender issue, although I wanted to have a woman represented, and I thought Brianna would be great because she's mm-hmm. a young mom and she has to juggle her responsibilities between work and home. And Nate reminded me, when I created that character, he just reminded me of a lot of young men that I work with in our organization, and So I made him to be a male.
Well, that's fine. So we've got George, Brianna, Nate, and Brad. Now, here they are. They go through this experience, and I'm not going to give out all the information about it because I want people to read it and just have a good time going through the experience, experiences that you describe in the book. But there's a woman, Daniela, that is mm-hmm. in charge of this rafting trip, and her job is to observe everybody because she has to give a report back to the corporation about how these people are interacting with each other. And you present some fascinating scenarios and the egos getting out of place and some points of arrogance depending on the generation, and just all kinds of interesting positionings of thought and action that go along mm-hmm. with this. And I thought, this is something. Now, they go back to the office. They find that there has been a report on this. And there's something else that comes up that is a real shocker. Tell us about that, a little bit about that.
Yes. After they get back from the whitewater rafting trip, which they have survived, they get back, and on Monday morning, they find an email that says that the founder and CEO of the company is getting ready to resign. And so I used that to then transition them back into the workplace, where the whole company is thrown into an upheaval because their founder, not only their CEO, but their founder and CEO is getting ready to step aside. Mm-hmm. And, of course, that sets up the tension and highlights the different tension points often that appear in the workplace between the four generations, especially when there's going to be a leadership transition.
Right. When this transition goes on, I was sharing some of the details of your book with a friend of mine just this last weekend, and I said what was so intriguing was the way the patterning went with this person that had built this company and mm-hmm. obviously was the man at the helm, was well-liked, had a wonderfully profitable company. We're mm-hmm. not talking about something that's going in the toilet. We are talking about a good, solid company. And, of course, having been in the workplace off and on throughout the years, whenever someone who has been the originator, the visionary, says they're stepping down, there usually is panic among the
Absolutely.
Workers.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
And
it's
I'm talking
true.
Big-time panic.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
they go... Yeah.
It can create a whole range of emotions, but panic is often right at the top.
It is, because the first thing people say is, all right, we're all going to be fired.
That's right.
There's someone else that's going to come in. They're going to have a different agenda. And he did assign somebody to come in. And let's talk about that a little bit, because this guy, well, you'd call him the boomer generation, wouldn't you?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
All right.
He would definitely have been an older boomer.
Mm-hmm. An older boomer came in, and he had just dumped some things on Brianna that
yes.
blew
mm-hmm.
her away. Let's talk about that a little bit, because I know a lot of my audience can relate to this.
Yes, he basically was the interim CEO until they could find someone. And, of course, it kind of develops in the story that he has an ulterior motive. He's hoping that he'll be appointed the CEO.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes into this working group, and all four of these individuals work for the IT department, information technology, and he appoints Brianna to be the leader temporarily. And, of course, when he does that, he's bypassing Brad, who automatically assumes that he would be the natural person to
mm-hmm.
be selected for that. And it creates, you know, a whole array of emotions, especially the tension between the boomer and the Gen Xer. And that is something I wanted to highlight, because that's often a real tension point in the workplace, or it has been. Now you can also see that between the millennials, but for many years it was the boomer and the Xer that were clashing, and then they still are.
Well, I think they will, unless there is an understanding on the part of the boomers that we're not in the Army now.
That's
that
right.
We are not going to work according to military structure. We
mm-hmm.
are going to need to respect and understand that this younger generation is not lazy. There has
right.
to be the standard and the expectation, but they want to have the opportunity to do things in their way. And I think with the younger generation, as it is with every generation as far as I can tell historically, the younger generation will often assume that the experiences of the older generation are outdated.
Right.
But not when it comes to integrity. Not when
That's
it
exactly
comes,
right.
Not when it comes to values. And if you have a good representation and there can be that communication and clarity, it can make a difference. And that's what happens. That's what you show with this team. Because Brianna goes in as a woman, and she has really been put down by Brad, who's very upset, and there's just all kinds of agitation. Not with George. George
That's right.
is an older guy, and he says, oh, for God's sake, I've been through the World War. This is nothing, kids. Don't worry about this.
That's exactly right. He's very laid back about it.
Yes, and I love the line that you had in there where you said, he figures, I've got my wife. I'm happily married. I'm just going to flow with this. I'm not worried about it because I've seen so much before. And that is a wisdom. Instead of panicking,
mm-hmm.
he says, I will have to adapt.
That's right.
The younger generation is working more from fear. Not
mm-hmm.
that he's not alert, but he's been the route. He's been kicked. He's gone through all the stuff they're going through. So she pulls them together as a team, which I think is incredible.
Yeah, I really enjoyed writing that part of the book because she took a huge risk, but in it she pulled the team together. And I just think it really represents what's possible.
And not only that, but she decided she was going to break all the rules.
Yep.
And going in and talking to the head man.
That's right.
No holds barred.
Yes, she was very gutsy. And also, I mean, and I tried to write it very realistically. She certainly had a lot of anxiety about it. It wasn't easy for her, but she pushed through and she persevered. And then he listened to her. And he,
mm-hmm.
and he heard and respected what she had to say.
And not only that, but the fellow that thought he was going to be in positioning temporarily, wanted to be permanent, he was really a sneaky character.
He was.
he definitely
was.
He was a lousy piece of lice. is the way I think I, you know, he's just one of those creepy characters that if an employee has to deal with someone like this and doesn't have the integrity, like Brianna demonstrated, about who she was and what she had to do, and she had to overcome her fears. So that guy ends up getting bounced out, which you want to cheer when that happens. And then there's Anne that's brought in by the name of Peter, and her strategy, and for those of you listening, you've got to get this book to figure out how she does this, because it is really good thinking. I really liked it. Now, this new man comes in. He is appointed the new CEO, and his thinking is really very, very different. What happens when Peter comes in?
Peter comes in and just completely blows them away with a whole new approach. He wants to communicate. He wants to collaborate. He's encouraging people to not keep information to themselves, but to share it with their staff. And he basically is a very dynamic leader who is choosing a whole new board of directors composed of women and men and a lot of diversity. He wants diversity of ideas. And it just absolutely motivates people and helps the company change their whole, kind of like their whole atmosphere in terms of the way that people are relating to one another.
I was reflecting for a moment while you were speaking on a program that I just saw last night. It was relating to our automotive industry.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that there's a very good parallel here. You have a process of thinking that was encased on all levels within the automotive industry,
mm-hmm.
whether it was union, whether it was employee, whether it was executive. And it was almost like a fairy tale kind of
mm-hmm.
an environment, because they said, oh, nothing can ever affect it, and that's very wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And they ignored all of the different things that went on. And as I was watching this last night, and I was thinking about our interview today, I thought that is something that companies forever have gone through this. They seem to think that they're going to be able to stay just as they are, period.
That's right.
But that's not the case. Technology has forced changes, and if you don't deal with innovation, and if you don't deal with risk, if you try to keep the same old, eventually it's going to strangle you. There are no guarantees.
Exactly right. That's right.
There are no guarantees.
That's right. And also because there are so many more players on the global field right now in terms of coming up to technological standards and just joining mm-hmm. the world, basically, we can't stay the same.
That's right. But we can end on a note of optimism, because just as your book, and again, this is wonderful. I think that anyone in business should have this in their library. I like what you say, to be easy to create a fairy tale ending to the story, but in reality, the future of this fictional company and its employees is yet to be determined. It will
mm-hmm.
hinge on leadership, and more specifically on leadership transition. And typically, the standard is, when you have a company that's successful, if it's passed along to heirs, usually it's by the second generation. It starts deteriorating, and by the third, it's out of business.
Yes.
Or has been absorbed by someone else. I think that you, Camille, have done an outstanding job with this book. I think in many ways it has a timelessness to it, even though you're using modern-day pictures. I think it is something that can be applied across the board on so many levels, and it creates a lot of thinking. What is your website that people can visit if they want to find out more about what you do?
My website is CamilleBishop.com.
CamilleBishop.com. That's C-A-M-I-L-L-E, Bishop.com. And Camille, if you were to leave a thought with my audience today, what would it be? What would you want to give as a note for corporations or people that are building a business that want to see it grow? What message would you like to leave them with today?
I would say be open to change and look at the people that you have, work with them, with all of the diversity that they represent, the different generations they represent, the different cultures they represent, because within that group there is a synergy that can propel your business forward if you will work with it and not against it.
Good words. And I think it's very true. I've known of companies that when they awakened to that, turned themselves around, created a profit, and found that not only were the employees loyal, but they were enthusiastically coming to work every day because they felt like they were able to contribute. They liked
that. Right. Absolutely.
Camille Bishop has been my guest today. Her wonderful book is We're in This Boat Together, Leadership Succession Between the Generations. It really is a wonderful read. And hey, if you want to know the rest of the story, you're going to have to get the book. I'm not going to tell you everything. Camille, it's been a delight having you as a guest today. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Donna. It's been a pleasure.
This is Donna Sebo. We're taking a break. Don't go away. We've got a lot of good things to share with you today. We're going to be right back.
Enter the magical world of God's Kiss.
Johnny finds himself at the entrance to a large open valley, framed by high mountains rich in the brown-red colors of the earth. He stands in awe, even a little fearful of the mountain's great size. After all, he's just a little boy and not very tall.
God's Kiss is a beautifully illustrated children's book about a young boy's journey into a valley with children and animals from all over the world. They are gathering together to experience the wonder of love and beauty that will affect their lives forever. A talking book audio narrated by the author Donna Sebo accompanies this wonderful storybook, creating a special magic all of its own. This book package makes a wonderful gift for those special children in your life ages 3 to 10. God's Kiss book and talking book audio are only $19.95 plus shipping and handling, and the author Donna Sebo will autograph and personalize your book if you request it. Call 800-872-8852. You can also order through Donna Sebo's website, www.delphiinternational.com. That 800 number again, 872-8852.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature. However, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sebo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
Do you want to lose weight? Do you deal with diabetes, high blood pressure, osteoporosis, or chronic pain? Do you want to know one of Dr. Perricone's 7 secrets to beauty, health, and longevity? Do you have 15 minutes a day to look and feel better? Then let me introduce you to TTAP, the workout that works. For the beginner or expert exerciser, learn from physical training specialist Teresa Tapp how, in just 15 minutes a day, you can burn fat and sugar, build strong bones and muscles, and lose inches fast with no equipment or jumping. Visit the TTAP website, TTAP.com, or call 1-800-342-0717 to learn how. That's T-TAPP.com. We'll help you lose inches, look good, and feel fabulous at TTAP. 1-800-342-0717, TTAP.com.
Hi, this is Donna. Telephone lines are now open if you'd like to call in and chat with me. The telephone number worldwide to call into is 888-815-9756. That's 888 815-9756. I was mentioning yesterday that an interview that I did last week on U.S. web radio.com is going to be put on air today. This was a pre-recorded, a pre-taped show, and it's with Vin Smith, and it was just a wonderful, wonderful opportunity. It'll be on from 6 to 7 Pacific time. So there will be that interview with Vin, and if you would like to listen to it, if you're going to be in that opportune positioning to do that, then just know that it's available for your listening convenience. Now, again, if you want to call in and chat with me, all you need to do is dial 888-815-9756, and if you've not done this before, it's real simple. All I need is your first name or your initial, and then after that, you're welcome to ask me a question about anything you want when I'm finished telling you what I perceive. Getting ready to go on a vacation? Are you booking those plane fares? What is it that you're going to plan for your playtime this year? Well, a lot of people have cut back. I understand over 14 million people are opting not to do their flying this year, as perhaps they've done before. And the airlines have cut back on the number of flights that they're scheduling to make sure that all the flights that they do send out are full, which makes sense to me. And there may not be as many flights available because of that, obviously, to different parts of the country. But like always, we have to check in advance. But this morning, when I was out walking my Scotties, along with my husband, we were walking down around the neighborhood, and we met a friend, and they were telling us about how one of the members of their family had gotten a fabulous, fabulous cruise package. Of course, they were able to just go, but they were able to get the package for just such a small amount of money compared to what it normally is. And I can remember someone telling me this many, many years ago, then when we had a chance to do some traveling by cruise ships. We met this couple, and they had managed to get a cruise for $200. And we just looked at these people. Our eyes were as big as saucers. We said, $200? They said, oh, yes. Now, they were in Canada, and they came down to the U.S. to catch or to take the trip. And they said the reason that they were able to do it is that they would check with the cruise lines, and if they had lots of empty spaces, then they would make all kinds of special deals. So it still goes on. To my surprise, I wasn't aware that it was. So that's just something you might want to keep in mind. If you love to cruise, check out your cruise lines. And if you have flexibility, there's those of us that don't always have that kind of flexibility, but if you have flexible time and you can wait till the last minute to book a trip, you might be able to really get a good bargain, especially with everybody being just very careful with how they're spending their dollars at this time. You might be able to get a fabulous vacation for a very reasonable amount of money. So check out the deals, and I've got some more tips for you that I'll be sharing with you as we go through the show. And again, give me a buzz if you'd like to chat, 888-815-9756. And all I need is your first name or your initial. And I'm hearing something in the background. Do we have somebody on the line? No, I don't think so. Okay. So let me give you another tip. You need to look for deals on wheels. If you're like my husband and myself, we like to get rental cars wherever we go. We like to travel around different areas. And apparently, Hotwire.com offers some of the best deals for car rentals. And you can avoid the airport convenience fee up to 10% of the base rate and rent from a location just outside the airport you might be flying into, or you might want to check out one that might be near your hotel. So there's some options that you can look at. Also, and these are some suggestions that I came across, actually there were some of them that I was sent via email. And then also there, if you lock in your airfare, there's kayak.com, and that's K-A-Y-A-K.com. Apparently, they pull information from airline websites and smaller databases. They like to give you the most comprehensive list of low fares, and they will tag red-eye flights, long layovers, and short connection times. Now, it all depends on what you're willing to work with. And once you choose your fare, you'll be directed to that airline site. And you just, there's just all kinds of fascinating options here. So that's another site. And then this is something, when I found out about this, I was really amazed. There is a site, yapta.com, Y-A-P-T-A.com. You can track the price of a flight before and after you book it. And at yapta.com, they'll alert you by email or Twitter if the rate drops. And this just coincidentally fits with something I heard on the radio just yesterday. You can contact the airline directly for a refund for $15. Yapta will go to bat for you. And the best time to book a flight is 12:01 a.m. Wednesday morning in the time zone where the airline is based. And they said, don't do it on the website. Pick up the phone. There's a Peter Greenberg that gave that information. And I heard this story about a woman when she found out about this, and this was just yesterday, that she found that having booked her trip, like at the first part of the year in January, and she was flying in June, her fare was like $1,500 or something like this. She and her husband were going somewhere, and it was that much each. Well, she found that the same trip today in the month of May went down to $900. So she was able to contact the airline. Now, in her case, there was, for the changing of the fee for the reduction, there was like a $250 penalty, if you will, to make the change. But she saved quite a bit otherwise. So they gave her a ticket voucher for the money that was credited to her, and she and her husband will be able to use those vouchers on another trip in the United States. So these things are going on, and if you have the time and the inclination, just check it out. What does it hurt? If you have the interest in seeing if you can save some money, it's a good thing to do. Donna Sebo here. Give me a call if you'd like to chat. 888-815-9756 is our worldwide number. And all you need, if you want me to light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight, all you need to do is give me a buzz, and then I'll be happy to answer a question for you if you so desire. And yes, people have been calling me and asking if I do private appointments. Yes, I am available for private appointments, and if you need information about anything, then just give me a call at my office, and the toll-free number is 800-872-8852. Have some comments, some facts that have come out across my desk. More than 80% of major armed conflicts fought between 1950 and 2000 occurred in biodiversity hotspots. And this is according to a study in conservation biology. Also, and this is really not any big news, most of us are aware of this, fruits and vegetables grown in the United States are becoming less nutritious. Why? It's because our agricultural practices have not the supportive substance in the soils. We're trading quality for quantity, and they find that the relationship between crop yield and nutrient levels has diminished substantially. More and more of this information is coming out, and I think it's great. It's the transparency here. Transparency creates the awareness and the necessity for change. And I think that we've had this off and on, but now, because we're seeing so many various health issues that have been multiplying in a way that we're just astonished. We say, why is this happening? It's like autism in children and so many different things that are affecting us. What's behind it? Many times it's nutritional deficiency. So we're becoming more and more public about this, and I think it's going to bring in a whole new understanding of how we work more cooperatively with the environment that we are growing our food in, so that it is going to become more nutritious. But again, it's like everything else. If we don't talk about it, if we don't bring things out, how are we going to change? We get complacent, we get comfortable. Just like we were discussing in the first half hour of the show, thinking patterns don't change, and without those changes, you're not going to find very much shifting into the newness that it's supposed to occupy. This is Donna Sebo. We're taking a break. When we come back, more good information to share with you. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat. Also, I'll tell you about upcoming guests. So don't go away. We'll be right back.
Enter the magical world of God's kiss.
He sees a large open area of valley ground covered with a thick green grass. In the open space are many other children and animals. All kinds of animals. And all of the animals are talking. He can understand every word they are saying.
God's Kiss is a beautifully illustrated children's book about a young boy's journey into a valley with children and animals from all over the world. They are gathering together to experience the wonder of love and beauty that will affect their lives forever. A talking book audio narrated by the author Donna Sebo accompanies this wonderful storybook, creating a special magic all of its own. This book package makes a wonderful gift for those special children in your life, ages 3 to 10. God's Kiss book and talking book audio are only $19.95 plus shipping and handling. And the author Donna Sebo will autograph and personalize your book if you request it. Call 800-872-8852. You can also order through Donna Sebo's website, www.delphiinternational.com.
As a counselor, Donna Sebo is available for private consultations by appointment. These can be done by telephone or in person. If you'd like to schedule an appointment with Donna, call 253-582-5604 or 800-872-8852. That's 253-582-5604 or outside of Pierce County, 800-872-8852.
Do you want to lose weight? Do you deal with diabetes, high blood pressure, osteoporosis, or chronic pain? Do you want to know one of Dr. Perricone's 7 secrets to beauty, health, and longevity? Do you have 15 minutes a day to look and feel better? Then let me introduce you to TTAP, the workout that works. For the beginner or expert exerciser, learn from physical training specialist Teresa Tapp how, in just 15 minutes a day, you can burn fat and sugar, build strong bones and muscles, and lose inches fast with no equipment or jumping. Visit the TTAP website, TTAP.com, or call 1-800-342-0717 to learn how. That's TTAPP.com. We'll help you lose inches, look good, and feel fabulous at TTAP. 1-800-342-0717. TTAP.com.
Hi, this is Donna. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat. 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. By the way, I wanted to let you know Teresa Tapp was on Good Morning America this past Tuesday, and if you go to her website, you'll be able to see the entire interview. And one of the young ladies that lost 100 pounds by doing TTAP and following a nutritional program, by golly, and she looks gorgeous in her bikini, that is in the People magazine, the June 1st issue. And you'll be able to read all about it, read all about what she has to say, and it's right there. So lots of good things we're going to be talking about Teresa, or with Teresa, next month. So you'll have to be tuned. If you want to be fit and fabulous in 15 minutes a day, well, by golly, we're going to show you how to do that. So she'll be coming up next month, but I did say that I would announce that. Tomorrow we're going to be talking with Dr. David Dahlman. Why don't doctors know this? What is it they don't know? Well, you'll have to tune in tomorrow to find out. David is a man who's done a lot of research and has worked with different people, and we're going to be talking about nutrition. We're going to be talking about particular things we need to be aware of physiologically so that we can enjoy good health and wellness. And then, of course, we're moving into June, and we've got a wonderful lineup. Transformational speaking. This is something we all need to be aware of because our words count. They really, really do. And Gail Larson is going to be my guest on Monday. And then Sexy in Your 60s, Joan Bunny, is going to be back with me. The day we did the show, the whole computer system crashed at the studio, so we weren't able to be on air. And consequently, then we rebooked Joan, and we're just going to have a real good time. So if you would like to know how to be sexy in your 60s, we'll tell you. I think we've got a caller on the line. Hello, welcome to the show. No, maybe not. I keep hearing these little noises. So maybe we've got some funny little gnomes out there on the computer lines. Who knows? And then Martin Palmer. I'm looking forward to talking with this gentleman because we're going to be talking about Kuan Yin. Now, Kuan Yin is a goddess in Chinese culture, and she's been around for centuries. But Martin is a fascinating man, not only with the research that he's discovered about this very, very well-known personage in Chinese culture, but he himself is a religious advisor to Prince Philip of England, and there's a major conference that's going to be coming up that is an international conference in November. And leaders from all over the world are being invited to come and participate in it. So we'll be talking to Martin about that. That'll be coming up on Wednesday of next week. And then, if you love baseball, you're going to enjoy Jeff Fox. We're going to be talking about Yankee Stadium, The Final Days. And this man has put together a publication that is absolutely awesome. Absolutely awesome to look at. And we're going to be talking about history. And then Dr. Nancy Irwin, U-Turn. That's the title of her publication. How can you make those U-turns in life so that you can put yourself where you really want to be? Fascinating information, good material. Tell your friends and let them know. They can have some good stuff that they can add to their, what do I want to say, the intellectual pot of life, making you aware of choices and opportunities that otherwise you may not think are available to you, and to your marvelous, marvelous surprise, you'll find they really are. Are you aware of the fact that your intuition can be enhanced with music? Well, for those of you who are familiar with sound therapy, you know how important tones are. Tone modalities have a big effect on how we think, how we process things, and it actually can be a stimulus for increasing your intuitive processes. They found through research that people who play the piano, the guitar, or other instruments can tell what other people are feeling based on the sound of their voice. Now, Northwestern University did a study on this, and they found that because of people that they studied who were involved with music, because of their training, the nervous systems of musicians possess emotion and sound. I should say they process emotion and sound better than non-musicians, which allows them to pick up on emotional nuances when people talk. And Dana Strait is the woman that was a participant in this study and researcher, and she said this is something that we need to be aware of, and I think that that is a very good, astute observation. When you're involved with music, and if you have a good ear for tones, those nuances really are significant. You will have a wonderful, wonderful result that when you are sensitive to that, when you're attuned to that, that is what makes music so magical. It really, really is. It's fascinating how if you have someone that understands those tonalities and the variables with those tonalities, how they can influence your mood, your feelings, and can read your mood and feelings very accurately. And by the way, and I know we're just about out of time, if you have a candy craving, here are some tips quickly. If you crave chocolate, well, try reaching for fresh dates or figs if you're trying to cut back on your sweet tooth. If tangy treats are yours in the candy area, try fresh kiwi, pineapple, or mango. Tart, go for grapefruit or tart dried cherries. And if you like something soft and gooey in the sweet area, then try dried apricots or dried plums. And if you love pure sugar, like cotton candy, then have sugary fruits such as ripe bananas or raisins. They will satisfy that craving for sugar. Well, we're out of time. My goodness, it's been a wonderful hour. Remember always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. This is Donna Sebo. It's a magnificent day. Summer is here. Yahoo! It's great. And you are going to be able to have a good time. We'll be talking same time, same place, right here at bbsradio.com. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.